The glass vial slipped through Petra's tingling fingers. She watched it bounce twice over the rain-slicked stone floor of the cave before it shattered. Petra recognized the inky black liquid dripping from the shards, but refused to make sense of it. He couldn't have, she thought, swaying as her vision pinholed. He wouldn't. He loves me. An intense cramp seized Petra's stomach, dropping her to the cool slab beneath her. Jackson, she croaked, but her jaw locked tight around the word as every muscle in Petra's body went rigid. Her blood burned through her veins like fire. She groaned in protest as her body seized violently. There could be no mistaking what was happening to her. The only man she had ever loved had swindled her into drinking a tonic laced with a rare and powerful poison. Dragon's blood. As the thunder cracked outside the cave, Petra knew that certain death awaited. And the only soul close enough to witness it was the one who caused it in the first place. Slow, unbothered footsteps approached as the spasms in Petra's body quieted to a tremor. She could only see the boots, but she knew it was Jackson, come to confirm that the dragon's blood had done his dirty work. The tall, raven-haired man standing over Petra let out a languid sigh as he watched a slow, thin line of black liquid spill from the corner of her fixed mouth.
Sorry, Pet.
His cool, steely voice echoed through the cavern. Livid, but fading, Petra sent the last spark of magic to her top lip, raising it in a defiant snarl. And then, finally, she was dead. I awoke to the smell of salt air and the distant call of seabirds. It would have been nice, peaceful even, were it not for the insufferable sniffling.
You cannot die, m'lady.
I heard a young girl's voice cry out.
Lady Cassandra, please.
Who in the four kingdoms is Lady Cassandra? I lay there wondering, still too weakened and sore to crack open my eyes, and yet not too weakened and sore to be annoyed by such a pathetic display of emotion. The sniffler was gripping my shoulders now, clinging to me desperately.
My noble lady, I beg you not to leave us.
Was it possible she had mistaken me for the noble Lady Cassandra? Such a colossal mistake seemed unlikely, even for such a simple, sniveling wretch.
Come away, Wren.
A calm yet sorrowful new voice emerged, comforting the crying girl.
Our lady has crossed over to the next life.
Then more sobs erupted from the weepy one, apparently Wren, carrying on, until I could bear it no longer. I forced my heavy eyelids open and assessed the scene in confusion. I was lying in a grand four-poster bed with a lacy canopy draped above, gently rippling from the breeze flowing in from the open window. There were two ladies' maids sitting at the foot of my bed holding each other. The younger, curly-headed blonde with her teary face buried in the bosom of the taller, willowy one.
It is a miracle.
I heard a raspy, aged voice, then swiveled my head toward the corner of the room and found an old man pointing in my direction with wide eyes.
Praise the gods.
The young blonde gasped as she broke from her friend and turned my way.
Milady, you're alive!
Who's Lady? I had just enough time to think before the shrimpy little thing flung herself at me, wrapping her arms tight around my neck. And soon after, all three of the strangers were buzzing around me in a flurry, calling me Lady and asking if I was in any immediate pain. I wasn't, exactly, aside from an odd, swollen sensation throughout my body, as if all of my hard-won muscles had suddenly gone fleshy and weak. Bellamy turned to Wren.
Fetch Lady Cassandra some water.
Excitedly, Wren scurried toward the door.
Why had she called me Lady Cassandra again?
I was Petra Coldwater, a hard-hearted lone wolf who made a name for myself as the deadly, magic-wielding assassin known as Black Cat. And I was just as powerful as the magic world's beloved white knight, Jackson Wilde.
May the gods strike him dead.
Just then, Wren re-entered with a tin cup of water and set it at my bedside.
Can she speak, Bellamy?
Wren asked the taller, older maid, Bellamy, who I guessed was near 25. Then Bellamy took hold of both my hands and searched my eyes.
Lady Cassandra, it is Bellamy, and here is Wren. Do you not remember us?
There was nothing to remember. I had never seen these girls in my life. I swallowed thickly, then shook my head. As two maids' faces drained of color, the old man, a doctor they called Master Fenwick, leaned toward me and asked in a pronounced and overly loud voice,
Lady Cassandra, can you hear me?
I scowled, resentful of such a stupid question, then nodded that I could. Then Fenwick adopted a more delicate tone to ask me if I remembered what had happened to me and why I was feeling poorly. That I did remember. I remembered precisely the feeling of the dragon's blood dragging me toward the underworld, hearing the thunder, and knowing I would die the blindest, stupidest woman in creation for falling into Jackson's trap. The feeling of Master Fenwick's fingers at my wrist jerked me out of my dark reverie. I whipped my arm away roughly.
Ugh, don't touch me. Just tell me why I'm here.
My throat burned as the strain of speaking sent me into a coughing fit. Fenwick, the bastard, insisted on giving answers only after he'd assessed my health. So, reluctantly, I allowed him to pry open my eyelids, feel the glands at my neck, then move his hands under my ears to where my pulse flickered into the pads of his cool fingers.
Her ladyship's pulse is erratic, but very strong.
Fenwick confirmed my condition to the others, as though I were not right there.
And it seems the dragon's blood has completely wiped away her memories.
Dragon's blood? My eyes sharpened. Surely it could not be a coincidence that myself and the highborn lady they had mistaken me for had both swallowed dragon's blood. Master Fenwick regarded me with a knowing smile.
It seems the gods have spared you for some great and unknown purpose, Lady Cassandra Coldwater.
Did he just say Coldwater? An hour later, I was still in bed, having given the excuse to Wren and Bellamy that I was tired, when I was really not tired, but trying to figure out how the devil they'd mistaken me for a lady I did not know and who shared my family name. There were probably hundreds of cold waters spread out from midwinter to the Outer Lands. But the coincidence of both my name and the dragon's blood unnerved me greatly, as did the aching swell in my body that left me feeling like overripened fruit. I caught sight of a small hand mirror resting on a desk by the window. I extended my hand and called the mirror to me, but it just lay there, completely inanimate. Blast! I could not summon the power for even a simple levitation. The reserves of my magic were lower than they had ever been before. If the mirror would not come to me, I would have to go to it. I groaned pitifully as I threw my legs over the side of the bed. Ugh. I staggered across the room awkwardly, then snatched up the hand mirror and held it up to behold myself. The woman looking back had full lips, haunting, sorrowful eyes, and a thick blanket of chestnut hair falling well past her shoulders. And she was not Petra Coldwater. My heartbeat thundered in my ears as a shaking hand raised up to trace the thin, inky stain that ran from the corner of the pouting lips and down the long, swan-like column of neck, where the dragon's blood had leaked out of this body, just as it had done mine. I am inside Lady Cassandra's body? Whispering to myself, dizzy, my borrowed body broke out in a sheen of cold sweat. Suddenly, the door to my chambers flew open.
What are you doing out of your bed, m'lady? Who am I?
I spat at Ren, panting like a rabid dog.
Why, you are my lady. Lady Cassandra Coldwater, consort to His Majesty King Atlas, Ren chirped pleasantly. Consort to the...
I was sure I would black out, but Ren slipped her arm around my waist and helped me back to bed.
I'm a courtesan?
I asked, desperate for there to have been some mistake.
Oh, a king's consort is no lowly courtesan, m'lady. It is a great honor. It's said you're forever bonded to His Majesty in this life and forever after.
My mouth dropped open in horror as Ren let out a dreamy, wistful sound.
Bonded forever? To the King of Hyperion? Stuck in the body of a glorified harlot? I think I shall be sick.
Is all well, m'lady?
Ren cocked her curly head to the side like a puppy.
You look as if you've had a fright.
At midday, I gathered my lady's maids in the garden. The breezy sea air moved through the lush plants, bees making their way from bloom to bloom. Is it possible a fellow consort has attempted to kill me because they're jealous of my beauty? I asked Ren and Bellamy, pacing to and fro in front of them, barefooted in the grass. I had only seen Lady Cassandra's face for a moment in the mirror, but it was so objectively beautiful, I assumed I was top of the pile as far as the king's consorts were concerned. Bellamy answered in her cool, collected way that my jealous consort theory was not impossible, but highly unlikely. I halted my steps and turned toward them, raising my hands to my new, ridiculously supple hips.
Who has poisoned me then?
I snarled through gritted teeth. Ren and Bellamy exchanged a worried look, neither moving to speak.
Well?
I barked impatiently. Ren's voice was sorrowful and soft as she answered.
You died by your own hand, m'lady.
Suicide?
I shouldn't have thought a beautiful lady like Lady Cassandra would have endured enough hardship to warrant it. And taking one's own life was an affront to the gods. Bellamy's sharp brown eyes met mine.
You are not a favored consort, m'lady. But Ren and I respect and care for you deeply, even if His Majesty does not.
At that, a tiny, angry spark of magic within me fizzled as the situation became crystal clear. Lady Cassandra swallowed dragon's blood, suffered the painful, blood-boiling torture of it, all because she was overlooked by a stupid, selfish king. A king who could not even be troubled to visit her at death's door. I hate this king, I decided, deep down in the marrow of my assassin's bones. And so long as I am a visitor in Lady Cassandra's body, I shall take great pleasure in teaching His Majesty the proper way to respect a young lady. Or I shall make the point of my dagger play teacher.